Tonight's reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. And if you're using a church Bible, then tonight's reading is on page 854. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed.
So, I gave blood recently. I know what you're thinking. What a hero. And who am I to disagree with your opinion of me, frankly? Now, some people might think it's slightly pretentious that I carry a card in my wallet which says, I do something amazing. But if that's you, if you think I'm being pretentious by carrying that card, let me inform you what giving blood actually consists of. Do you know they take a pint? And apparently I only have nine. I only have nine pints of blood. They take a whole pint from me. So no wonder you feel a little bit dodgy afterwards. You're only half full. Anyway, I gave blood a few Mondays back. And then, about 2 hours later, I went to play football. Not advised. And, unsurprisingly, I was useless. And what's new? I can see the little look over there. Yeah. What's new there, I hear you ask. But I was even more useless than usual. After about 2 minutes, I could barely run. My legs felt lethargic. Every time I tried to control the ball, I was panting and puffing. I was thinking, what's wrong here? What's happened to me? How have I suddenly lost all my stamina, my endurance, my energy? And then I realized I was about 4 quadrillion blood cells short, wasn't I? And so, frankly, I was doing amazingly well to even be standing up. I should have been in hospital at that point. All they give you to recover is a little cup of squash and a bourbon. If you get lucky, you get a bourbon. And I did last time. Now, you know, the more that I do this job, I've been training minister here at Highfields for about 6 months now, and the more that I do this job, the more involved in people's lives that I become, the more I realize that actually most of us feel like we are several billion blood cells short of a full tank, running half full. The most regular response to the question, how you doing? I'm pretty tired. That's probably number one coming back when I ask that question. And you know, I think that's just something about the reality of the life of faith in Jesus. Following Jesus is hard. And if you ever hear a preacher tell you otherwise, if you ever hear anyone say that when you follow Jesus, it'll make your life a barrel of laughs, it'll make it easy, rubbish. Is that what the Bible tells us? Is that what Jesus promises? You know, easy was certainly not the experience of those Jewish Christians in the early church who the book of Hebrews was written to. They were coming under severe pressure to turn back to Judaism. And following Jesus publicly was a one-way ticket to hardship. It was not easy to be a Christian. And in fact, the writer to the Hebrews, in those famous verses that Sarah Fidd just read for us a few moments ago, Hebrews 12:1-3, he describes the Christian life as a race. And sadly, it's not the 100-meter dash. It's an endurance race, a marathon. And of course, like a marathon, when hardship is relentless, step after step, mile after mile, day after day, it's easy to become weary. It's easy to become tired. And when you're tired, you get tempted to pack it all in, don't you? I wonder, are you a fatigued follower of Jesus this evening? Are you struggling to keep going in the race? Maybe work is tough. Maybe family is tough. Friendships are tough. Your health is tough. And you are weary. You are losing heart. And you find yourself asking the question, why should I keep going? Why should I keep going? And I tell you what, if you're not asking that question at this point, you will at some point. Every marathon runner, I'm reliably informed, does. Not that I've ever done it. But the writer to the Hebrews points us there in chapter 12, verse 3, to the first and best reason for keeping going. And it is the prize that we are running for. The prize that we're running for. He says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In other words, keep following Jesus. Consider him. Look to him. Jesus is our great motivation this evening as we try to run the race of faith. Jesus is our great example, our great encouragement. When we look to him, we will not lose heart. And why is that? Why, when we look to Jesus, do we not lose heart? Well, because, firstly, he is proof that the marathon can be finished. That it can be endured. There's nothing more disheartening, is there, than believing that the task that you face is impossible. There's nothing more demotivating. But Jesus is proof that the opposition to faith can be overcome. That it is possible to keep going to the end. He endured the cross. And he triumphed over it, sitting down eventually at the right hand of God the Father. He kept going through the hardship. But Jesus is not only our great example this evening. He is proof that the prize that we're running towards is worth it. Because he is the prize that we are running towards. I tell you, there's nothing that gets weary legs going like looking at the prize. I don't know if you saw recently John Bishop's Week of Hell. Over 5 days, he rode, cycled, and ran from Paris to London for Sports Relief. Now, I love watching stuff like that. You sit there on the sofa, feeling healthy, whilst spooning the Ben and Jerry's in your mouth. Come on, Johnson, stop slacking. But John Bishop was totally destroyed during those 5 days. If you get a chance to see it, it is quite incredible. He was a physical wreck by the end of it. I mean, he's a comedian. He's not an athlete. He's just a bloke who tells jokes. But what kept him going, and there were some really dodgy points where he thought, he's not going to be able to keep going here. What kept him going was every so often, someone would come up to him and say, John, the total is up to £400,000. John, now it's £1 million. John, it's £2 million. And every time he got that news, it was as if there was some burst of energy inside him and he kept going. He was able to keep going because he knew that if he reached the end, he would raise a huge amount of money for a good cause. He was looking towards the prize. So I ask you tonight, what are you running for? What are you running for? What are you keeping going for? Look to Jesus. Remind yourself, you're keeping going for him. You're keeping going to him. Because he's the one waiting at the finish line. You know, although the great cloud of witnesses are cheering us on, he's the one who's yelling the loudest. He's the one who's praying for us. He's the one who's asking his Father to give us more grace, to draw close to us by his Spirit, to renew us in our energy through his word. Look to the prize. Look to Christ, because it's amazing how when we do, we suddenly don't feel quite as tired as we thought we were. However, we often think that the only reason to keep going is because of what lies at the end. But the writer to the Hebrews wants us to see that actually the process of hardship is also beneficial. Like the early Jewish Christians, we often forget that. And we read in verse 7, if you have your Bibles open, and then have a look at it. Verse 7 says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. So often when we are experiencing hardship, when the circumstances of our lives are making it difficult to endure, we forget that actually God is at work in us. And rather than seeing it, our hardship, as evidence of his grace in disciplining us, we see it as evidence of his incompetence. And we end up asking questions like, does God even love me? If he does, then why is he letting this stuff happen? Is God even with me? Then why do I feel like I'm facing this alone? Does God have a clue what he's doing here? This surely can't be part of his plan. I don't know whether those attitudes sound familiar to you. And the writer to the Hebrews says, have you forgotten, this is verse 5, have you forgotten that word of encouragement? That's what this word is, a word of encouragement. That addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. He's quoting there from Proverbs chapter 3, 11 to 12. And he says to us, have you forgotten what God says about hardship? Have you forgotten that God encourages us when he speaks about hardship? Have you forgotten that God does not simply see it as hardship, but in fact, discipline? And the answer often is yes. Yes, I have forgotten. And therein lies one very straightforward lesson for us this evening. Remember God's word. Because often we end up needlessly feeling discouraged and weary because we do not keep in mind what God has spoken. We neglect his truth. We leave our Bibles on the bedside table and we interpret our circumstances and our lives through our own eyes. So hardship becomes to us a sign of God's displeasure. But what the writer to the Hebrews wants us to see is that hardship in our lives is actually a sign of God's love and his care for us. So don't think of it as hardship, think of it as discipline. Now, at first, it seems a little bit like the work of some sort of divine spin doctor going on here. The heaven's version of Alistair Campbell is stepping in. Oh, don't call it hardship. Call it discipline. It'll go down better with the voters that way. But actually, when we begin to examine it, we see that God's discipline is very different to the blind, unremitting distress of simply hardship. No, God's discipline is the loving rebuke and instruction of a father. So let's examine three ways in which God's discipline is a word of encouragement to us this evening. Firstly, God's discipline in our lives displays his sovereign grace at work. So verse 6 says, the Lord disciplines those he loves. And as I've already said, it's easy to think that difficult circumstances in our lives are evidence of God either not wanting to be there or being harsh and vindictive. And in fact, that is exactly what verse 5 warns us against. Do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. We can regularly mistake his discipline as evidence that he is hardly at work at all in our lives at the moment. You know, this is the dry season, that God isn't speaking to us, when in fact, perhaps he is. Perhaps he is calling us through our circumstances to trust him in a deeper way than we ever have before. Perhaps he's calling us to submit to his will in a fresh way, or to repent from that idol and to trust in Christ. Perhaps God is speaking to us through hardship in those ways. And we mistake it as a dry season. We take his discipline lightly. Or, on the other hand, we can mistake his discipline for evidence of his displeasure. And we become despondent. We believe that he has forsaken us. We cannot understand why these things are happening to us. We lose heart. We believe that God is showing us that he no longer loves us. But rather than evidence of his abandoning us or his displeasure, the discipline of God in our lives is evidence of his sovereignty, his absolute rule and control over all things, and it is evidence of his love. It is evidence that God is so in control of all things, of the entire history of the universe, that he is using even our tough circumstances to lovingly grow and shape us. Again, we so often forget that God has told us in his word what he is doing in our lives. Romans 8:29, a precious verse for all of those who trust in Christ. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. In other words, if you are a Christian, a believer in Christ here tonight, God has already determined your destiny. One day, you will be conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfectly obedient, sinless, righteous and holy. And God, in his magnificent sovereignty, is using every moment of our lives to achieve this goal. Is God's discipline evidence of his neglect or his anger? No, not at all. It is evidence of his mighty, all-powerful, unstoppable, loving purpose at work in our lives, changing us into the likeness of Jesus. So be encouraged this evening. The Lord disciplines those he loves. Your hardship, if you're experiencing hardship, is testimony to that fact. And secondly, God's discipline proves to us that we are his children. So often, hardship undermines our assurance. Am I even a Christian? Why would God treat me like this if I was? If that's you, then listen to these words. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called sons of God. I cannot think of a greater reason for joy tonight than our membership in God's family through faith in Christ. And discipline is proof that we are indeed his sons, that we belong to his family. Now, my dad found out that I was preaching on discipline this week and on this particular passage. And so he's been regularly emailing me examples from my own life throughout the week. Things that he felt would be helpful for me to share with you. And I'm not going to include any of them. So if you're listening, Dad, thanks very much. But here is a wonderful application of this passage for you parents here tonight. If you love your kids, then discipline them. It is not loving to just abandon them to do what they want, to leave them to their own devices. Good parents pour time and effort and love into their kids by teaching and training them, by rebuking and punishing them when they are wrong. Not because we delight in punishing, but so that they learn and grow and mature. And so, when we receive the discipline of God our Father, rather than allowing it to shake our confidence, rejoice that it is evidence that you are a child of God. You know, discipline is a privilege that others do not share in. That's what the writer of the Hebrews says. If you are not disciplined, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Listen, if some of you are sat here tonight thinking, I can't for the life of me remember the last time that I was disciplined by God, then can I say that is a huge warning sign to you. God is not an absent father. He is intimately involved in the lives of his children. He is making them more like Jesus. And so if you're not experiencing the loving, corrective discipline of God on a regular basis, even on a daily basis, I would argue, then you need to ask yourself the question, am I his child? And if that worries you tonight, if you can't see any evidence of God's discipline in your life, can I just simply invite you to call out to him, to ask him to forgive you of your sin and accept you as a son for Jesus' sake. And God always, always says yes to a prayer like that. And if you'd like to talk to me or any of the other leadership or staff here at Highfields, then most of us will be sort of loitering around in the foyer after the service. So please come and talk to us. That's why we wait around there for. Discipline displays God's sovereign grace at work in us. It is evidence that we are his children and he is our Father. And finally, God's discipline produces life. I'm sure all of us throughout our lives have been disciplined, and maybe most of us have been in the position of having to discipline someone else. And you'll know, and we all know, that some methods of discipline are better than others. And we read in verse 10, our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Sometimes earthly fathers do a good job of disciplining their kids. And sometimes, we know, they do a really bad job. But God disciplines us for our good. His discipline produces in us holiness, a harvest of righteousness and peace. In other words, he does exactly what he set out to do, what he said he would do before the foundation of the world. He makes us like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love how real this passage of God's word is to us this evening. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Amen to that. But later on, in other words, over time, what God's discipline produces in us is Christ-likeness. It's kind of like going into surgery with a cancerous tumor inside you. Nobody wants to be cut open. It's painful to go under the scalpel. It's not pleasant at the time. But the lasting benefit is worth it. And so we're left with a choice this evening, aren't we? As to how we relate to the discipline of God. Verse 9 says, "We've all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live?" How are you dealing with God's discipline in your life? Are you ignoring it? Are you making light of it? Are you despairing of it? Are you feeling crushed by it? I hope not. Because I hope that by God's grace, we are willingly, joyfully submitting to His discipline, allowing Him to do His work in our lives, to deal with our sin, to remove the darkness that is ingrained in us, to place within us the righteousness of Christ, and ultimately to make us alive by His Spirit. So as we finish tonight, we come back to an exhortation to an army of marathon runners who are weary and despondent. "Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled but rather healed. Keep your eyes on Jesus." And if you're bowed under hardship and discipline, strengthen those feeble arms and weak knees. Stand up. Start putting one foot in front of the other again. And rejoice in the prize that we are running towards. Rejoice in the discipline of God who trains us to be better runners and who is making us more like Jesus so that we can keep going to the end. For one day, maybe soon, who knows, we will cross that finishing line. And for the believer, God's work in us will be made complete. We will finally be transformed fully into the likeness of Christ. And we shall receive our prize, Jesus, the goal of our faith. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank You for Your great love for us. We thank You for the Lord Jesus who endured the cross for the joy set before Him. And we pray that You'd help us to be runners who endure to the end. Help us fix our eyes upon Jesus, we pray, that we would see the prize of our faith. Lord Jesus, fill us with Your strength as we seek to run, as we seek to live for You day by day. And Lord, as You discipline us, as You seek to change us into the likeness of Christ so that we can finish the race, would you make us joyful in Your discipline? Would You help us rejoice to have full assurance that You are treating us like sons? Help us to submit to Your discipline, we pray, in our lives, and to be filled with the fruit of righteousness and with peace, and to become holy as You are holy. Lord God, we bless You for Your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.